Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year.
Oh, look, you never know what you're going to get when you push that Christmas music button.
Have a cup of cheer.
We'll take a little Burl Ives. Nothing wrong with that. Back on downtown, it's 4:32 on your Thursday afternoon. Rich Kimball here with you and on the telephone line, our friend Michael Hurley, WBZ, CBS Boston. Hello there, Michael.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks. How are you this afternoon?
Just splendid.
I'm glad to hear that. I've been watching your Twitter feed, and now I feel like I've been missing out because I haven't watched yet any of Man in the Arena. I was especially intrigued when you were talking about the fact that Tom was not all that happy at the signing of Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, I had very low expectations for this series. I thought it would just be sort of, I'm Tom Brady, I'm great, look how cool I am, check out this sweet touchdown. But it's actually been pretty good, especially I thought, you know, the 07 and the 11 season that they went through was interesting, you know, sort of the lower moment. So, the most recent one was 14. And Brady, you know, we all sort of made our assumptions about how he handled and processed the drafting of Jimmy Garoppolo. And I would say my summation of his feeling was more hurt than anything, not sort of angry or motivated or whatever. It was just sort of like totally almost blindsided by it. So he kind of talked about that. It was a brief part of it. They had a really buzz through. I don't know if you know this or not, but the 2014 season, a lot of stuff happened. So everything was kind of on fast forward. But, yeah, they did touch on that. And I thought it was interesting.
Well, I may have to check that out because, yeah, I thought, like you, it was just going to be a Tom Brady production and getting ready to build the statue and all that. But, yeah, that's good that they showed that side of him. Now I'm a bit more curious to check it out. Well, especially in light of what happened to them the other day. And then I see that you're actually taking Carolina, not to win the game, but to cover the spread against Tom this weekend.
Yeah, I think that Carolina defense, the shame of it is that the Carolina defense is so good. They just need a mediocre offense to be a decent team. But unfortunately, our guy Cam Newton is not that guy. That was a cool story for a minute, but it's really gotten sour down there to the point. I mean, Matt Rhule was cycling him and P.J. Walker, which doesn't work, and now he's throwing Sam Darnold into the mix. So I do have concerns about that +10 pick, but I just think, you know, losing Godwin, who's their number one receiver this year, Evans being hampered, Fournette being out, I don't think Le'Veon Bell is going to be worth anything. So it's going to be a tough offensive day for Brady. It's just a matter of, you know, I think those Panthers can at least keep it interesting for a while. It's just Cam Newton has to avoid throwing some of the ugliest picks we've ever seen.
A little bump in the road for the Patriots last week, but I think if you had said to any Pats fan in preseason, hey, when we get to the weekend of Christmas, you'll have a one-game lead over Buffalo in the East, everybody would be pretty happy with that.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, if you were to say you're going to split the season series with the Bills, I think everyone would have taken that and signed up for that to start the year. But given where they were 2 weeks ago and given where they are now, and given where they would be if they lose this game, I don't think anyone would be happy with the season split with the Bills, just because, you know, when they beat the Bills on that Monday night, I was, you know, doing the impact of it in the playoff standings, and it was kind of like, well, it didn't really matter. It didn't really secure them anything, because the Bills can win this game, leapfrog them in the standings, and then I think they have Atlanta and another, you know, really easy game left. It escapes me who they have. They'll win their final two games and win the AFC East, so this is really... you know, the Patriots don't win the division with this, but they can lose it. So it's kind of in that territory where if they lose, I think everyone's going to be pretty bummed out about it.
Now, you also wrote about the fact that the mistakes that the Patriots made, well, that's kind of their identity. That's who they are right now.
Well, it's not necessarily the identity, but I think it's a part of the identity. We can't say, you know, you'll probably hear a national commentator like, these mistakes are uncharacteristic, but really they're not. Remember when the year started, it was penalties. It was having 10 guys, you know, it was burning timeouts. It was not being said. It was all these mistakes, and they did clean it up for a while. I mean, not the entirety of the 7-game winning streak, but toward the end, they were really humming along and not really making those huge gaffes that we saw come back to life last week when they were in an adverse environment, a loud road stadium, national TV, a good opponent. All those things came back. You know, false starts from the 2-yard line. Mac took a delay of game on a play where he was under center with 13 seconds on the play clock. A lot of these mistakes that just, you know, you'll hear a national commentator say it's uncharacteristic, but I think we have to be real about it and say it is somewhat characteristic. You know, they swept it under the rug for a while, but when it came back, it wasn't altogether out of the blue. So that's something that they have to focus on. And, you know, I think they did need a night like that, a real humbling, humble pie type moment to sort of get their focus back, especially after a week away, to get them ready for this. I think they needed to go 1-1 in the Colts-Bills stretch. So now's their chance to finish that off.
We're talking with Michael Hurley of WBZ, CBS Boston, here on Downtown. Well, we know from the last game that they can run the football against the Bills. That's certainly got to give them a whole lot of confidence. Now it's just finding somebody healthy to do that running.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Ramondre Stevenson's got to get over whatever the illness is, but at least it's not, you know, a hamstring or a knee or an ankle. I think there's more hope that as long as it's not a COVID situation, that he'll be healthy enough to play Sunday. And Harris being out there in the practice field is definitely big, because I think for as much as we made a big deal about it and talked about it as much as we could, there's no way to overstate how just dominant that running performance was. It was sort of like when you go to a high school game and one team has fully grown, matured athletes and the other is a bunch of 5'2", 100-pound kids, and it's just this painful thing to watch one team dominate the other, except it involved National Football League teams. So I think the game plan has to be very similar, not the same, obviously. Mac's going to throw more than three times, but I just think you have to just lean on that, because at that point it becomes a personnel, like more than scheme and anything. You've shown that you have the personnel to run over them for the entirety of a football game. I think they've just got to keep going at that. So it'll be fascinating if the Bills can stop it, because if they can't, I will be in the post-game press conference and I will ask Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde if it was embarrassing, because I want to get some Twitter action. You know, I need to get angry Bills fans at me.
Oh, there you go. Well, look, Mac Jones has shown the ability throughout this season to learn from mistakes. He made a couple certainly last time out, but I think I don't want to say the pressure's off him a little bit, because this is such a huge game. But if they can run that football, that makes everything he wants to do as a passer that much easier.
For sure, for sure. And if they load up to, you know, if they really load up to stop that run, the Patriots, I mean, they have such smart coaching, and they have such a smart young quarterback. There's going to be plays, I bet, where they really sell the play action, and either Jonnu Smith or Hunter Henry stays in a block, flips out, and is left wide open. And I think that's going to be sort of how the offense will be, because I don't think Bourne's going to be there. It looks like Aguilar's not going to be there. So, you know, the wideouts aren't going to be huge factors, maybe, you know, crossing patterns from Jacoby Myers and whatnot. But I look at those tight ends. This is a week they really got to earn their money, because they'll be in the run game as blockers, and I think they really have to dedicate to that, so that when they do go to the play action, it's going to lead to big plays.
And the only success that Buffalo had running that ball last time was in the second half with Josh Allen. Do they lean on him again to do it with his feet and his arm?
It feels like they're kind of caught, because he is their best running back. He is an excellent running back, but he gets popped at least once or twice. You know, he protects himself fairly well, but when you're 6'5", or whatever he is, you're going to get hit sometimes, and it's damaging, and it's hard to resist going to it because it's so effective. And I'm sure he'll have a much better game. I don't think he's going to come in here and stink up the joint. I don't think the Patriots can feel comfortable saying, "Oh, well, we held him to 15 for 30 last time." He'll do the same. He will be better. They will score points. I think the Bills have a very good chance in this game. I can't pick a team that got run over, and I can't pick a team whose head coach absolutely blows his top every time he has to coach a big game against Bill Belichick. So I think, for as much as I mentioned all the Patriots mistakes earlier, I think you can count on a Sean McDermott's stupid challenge that he has no chance of winning, a burn timeout because there's no play call going in and no one knows what they're doing, and maybe, you know, some other miscue that the coach just, you know, loses his temperament and loses track of things. So I think that's a huge factor as much as anything.
If it's a close game, special teams obviously could be a big factor. What was the cause of that block punt? Was it a blocking breakdown? What went wrong?
Well, yeah, I watched the Hard Knocks episode today from last night. The Colts and Bubba Ventrone, who Patriots fans might remember as a core special teamer back in 05 to 08 and was a special teams assistant for a few years, was on the team, on the coaching staff that won Super Bowl 51, he saw that, and it was caught on film in the meeting. You know, he told Matt Adams, you know, you might be able to sneak right in the B gap there. And there's a, you know, Jakob Johnson was looking to his right to help, and just in that split second, he left the B gap open, and Adams split it. And, you know, it's just attention to detail I would put in this more than anything. It's not like they were overloaded. It's not like they were selling out to block that punt. It was just, I would say, absent-minded on the part of Jakob Johnson individually, as on the part of the whole unit, and Cam McCord, the special teams coach. So these things do happen over the course of the season and things like that. I would like to think they're done giving up the blocked punt at this point. I think three is three more than Bill Belichick would ever really stand for. So I'm going to go out and say that won't happen again. But then again, I would have said they would have never allowed a third one. So they'll need to, because that was the game last week. You don't give up that. I really think that the whole game changes. That was the number one play to me. So those things can't happen.
Given where they are right now and what they have for games the rest of the way on their schedule, is this game more important for the Patriots or the Bills?
I think it's more important for the Patriots, because if they lose, they have no shot at the division. If the Bills lose this game, they can root for a Miami win over New England week 18, which is not unrealistic. You know, the Dolphins are a team that can win games. The Patriots have always struggled in Miami, so there's a chance that even if the Bills lose this, they manage to make up that ground. They own the tiebreaker with the division record, so it's definitely a much bigger, significant stakes for the Patriots.
We should refer to you from now on as award-winning columnist, Michael Hurley. Congratulations on winning the Dave Anderson column writing, tied for third place. But listen, you are Ian O'Connor. I think we know which way we lean in that one.
I appreciate that. I will, you know, add it to my email signature, award, parentheses, tied for third place, and parentheses, winning journalist. I think it's kind of fitting for my whole scheme. I don't know what you call it. My whole idea, my feelings.
Is that your brand?
Yeah, good for the tied for third is that's right up my alley. So I think it couldn't have worked out any better, but yeah, it was kind of cool.
Well, yeah, I know a whole lot of writers that didn't get any recognition at all. So well-deserved. Congratulations on that for your terrific piece on Colin Kaepernick. Are your youngins ready for the big day?
I think so. I'm excited too. I mean, the presents are sitting there, and it's going to be a tough couple days to wait, but I'm looking forward to it. I just, you know, they have a plan to sleep right next to the tree this year in an effort to catch the big man. I don't know how that's going to work out, just being honest about it.
Did you cheat as a kid? Did you ever open anything before it's time?
No. My mother told me that there was cameras. There was cameras all in the house. And I listened, and I was scared. So I didn't violate any rules. So I played by the rules. But one thing that was significant was she always let us open one present on Christmas Eve, Eve day.
Yeah.
To really, you know, get through that long wait. So that was huge. I recommend that to anyone with those tweener type ages. That was key for me.
Did you have a favorite present as a kid, something that stands out even now that you look back on?
It might be the PlayStation 1. I mean, that was a game changer. You know, Crash Bandicoot, Jet Moto, College Game Breaker 98, NCAA Game Breaker 98. That was a big one for me. That was like, you know, I've had a lot of great presents. I was a very lucky young man, but that one was like, welcome to the next level of technology. Yeah. That was big time.
That's awesome. Well, I hope you have a wonderful holiday. Our best to you and your family. Thanks as always for making time for us. Enjoy the game, and we'll catch up with you in the new year.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy holidays. Everything.
That is award-winning columnist Michael Hurley, WBZ, CBS Boston, with us here on Down.